Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. We have a lot to talk about today, but let's start things off, I guess, a bit sorry with the passing of Yvonne Craig. Batgirl,
yeah.
Yvonne Craig.
Yeah, she's the one true Batgirl to a lot of us, and, you know, probably the first crush for a lot of us geeks, too.
Wow, you know, it's funny. You know, it's kind of weird talking about this because, you know, she did pass away.
Yeah, I know.
You're right. If she's not first crush for a lot of guys our age, and, you know, what's funny is you're not that much older than I am.
No.
Really, you're older.
No. Yeah.
I mean, the show was on 66. I don't really remember watching it till I got, you know, like maybe 8, 9, 10. I was, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
The show was already almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
When we were watching it. And it's just, I think it's funny how she, you look at some of those pictures, man. She's a looker.
Yeah, she really is.
It's weird talking about it this way, but I don't think we are disrespecting her by talking about this.
No, I mean, she started off as, like, the other thing that she's really noted for, and I neither of us are really Star Trek fans, but she played one of those green-skinned the Orion slave chicks.
Yeah, the Orion slave girls, right.
And damn, she looks good.
Now, she did that first, right?
She did
and
that
then
first,
she
yeah.
was Batgirl.
Then she was Batgirl. And there was an interesting backstory behind Batgirl actually ending up in the Batman TV show. The producers of the show actually went to Julia Schwartz, who was the then editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
And said,
Comics.
Yeah, we need a female character.
Yeah.
First, they actually pitched Poison Ivy.
Oh, really?
And they didn't really like that so much. And then they pitched, you know, the revamp of Batgirl.
Okay.
Because there already was it was Bat-Girl. But that came out of the Wortham Seduction of the Innocents. She was the blonde chick.
Yeah.
And so Julius revamped her as a redhead and the daughter of Commissioner Gordon. And they actually pretty much came out simultaneously in comics and TV almost around the same time.
So it was like marketing right from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's more common today. You know, you got Harley Quinn who jumps over to comics, Livewire, and all these other, you know, Coulson jumping over to comics, and, you know, so it's more common now, but back then it was a pretty amazing thing.
Now, what I didn't really realize until recently was that she only did the show for one season.
Yeah, well, the final season, too.
The last season, right. Yeah. I just kind of figured she was there from the beginning, but she wasn't.
No. No, and, you know, it's funny because you watch that cartoon opening, and just like, it always, you know, you always knew when she was on because all of a sudden you saw that girl drive by.
Yeah.
And it's a damn shame she passed away. It was, she had breast cancer and it metastasized to her liver.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what passed her, you know, made her pass away. But, you know, it's, like I said, she was really such a crush for a lot of us geeks. You know, the first chick dressed up in a costume.
Man. So wrong.
I know. It's a tight-fitting costume, too. And it's just,
so wrong, man.
It's funny, because I read the comics.
They knew it, too. Listen,
when they
put her in that costume, they knew it. They were like, well, they were. They knew it exactly what they were.
Oh, God. It's funny, because I read the comics first, and at the time in comics, as I was reading, it was, they had a series called Batman Family, which was kind of an anthology thing, and it was always teamed up Batgirl and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And they always had the kind of love interest. And I'm watching the TV show, and I see Batman hitting on her, and Robin's not doing crap, and I'm like, what are you doing? She belongs to Robin. That's Robin's chick, you brick.
You're so much older, too.
God.
You know, and the other interesting thing, I don't know if it's interesting, but I did check out her IMDb,
mm-hmm.
and she really... I mean, she did a lot of bit roles after Batgirl.
Yeah.
She didn't really have anything, like an ongoing thing for any length of time.
No.
Like, she did bit roles on, I think, Fantasy Island, Fall Guy, but I guess maybe she got typecast as Batgirl, like most of them on that show kind of did.
Yeah.
But she didn't have much, surprisingly, she didn't really have much of a, certainly not a movie career afterwards.
No, it was more like, you know, she started pretty much just about every 70s TV show out there.
Exactly. You got it.
I mean, but, you know, before Batman, she did, you know, she did start with Elvis in a film, so, you know. But it's just, you know, for the most part, she was pretty much just a bit player in
yeah.
a lot of things.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
wonder, like I said, if she got typecast or she just, who knows? Who knows what the real story is, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, but the same token, I mean, look at all the people that Batman did put on the map that you really never heard of. Right?
Yeah.
Julie Newmar.
Yeah, right.
Cesar Romero, Frank Gorshin. I mean, of course, you know, Burt Ward and Adam West, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, these people all had careers and stuff, but it's just like you really never knew anything else. You still think of them, you know, Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
I mean, for him, there's two things you associate him with. It's either Penguin or that,
Rocky.
Oh, I forgot about it. I was going to say Twilight Zone, but yeah, I forgot
Rocky. Oh, yeah, that's right. Twilight Zone, too. You're right.
Yeah, that the famous episode of the Twilight Zone with the glasses. Yeah. And no, I forgot about, yeah, but, you know, it's just like, it's not really typecast. It's just like, it kind of made them like their names and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's been, you know, it's been like, seemed like every, like, almost every 10 years, it was a resurgence of the Batman 66 series. There's such a love affair of this, and, you know, it's really a sad loss.
I'd be curious as to know if, I'm sure it's probably positive that most people are age, or just males, feel the same way about her being Batgirl. Because if we came into it 10 years after the show, you know, somebody else came into it 5-10 years after the show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In the 80s, somebody else came into it and thought, whoa, wow.
I know, but when it was posted on Facebook, I saw a lot of shock from people, not just comic fans, but just, she became a pop icon.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't know who she was, you knew that Batgirl was on the Batman TV show.
You know what else is interesting? I wonder, well, did they say 2 years ago she was diagnosed?
Yeah.
I wonder if that had anything to do with her finally giving her likeness in to be cast, you know, in the toys and statues. Because for the longest time, she didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
So I wonder if that had anything, you know, any motivation to her to finally signing off on it.
Could be.
Just curious.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So that's that unfortunate passing.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, you will be missed. But like I said,
nobody else can fill that costume up like that.
Yeah, but you know, thank God, forever immortalized on Blu-ray now.
Yep. Yep.
And like you said, in plastic form too.
Yep. Finally.
Yeah. So.
So. There's one thing I really want to talk about. We have a whole, like I said, a whole bunch of things to discuss. But there's one thing, and I don't know why I find it so fascinating. But I think Bleeding Cool Today, this is Tuesday, I think it's the 25th, 26th, right. Whichever. Bleeding Cool leaked this, I don't know if it's an article, rumor, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
DC see. Comics right now, what were you going to say, Brian?
Let's call it a rumor for right now. Because it's, they don't have any confirmed sources. They're just saying they've talked to some sources inside.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want to say this has been confirmed. Right, okay. It's not.
You're right. So the rumor is that DC Comics is down $2 million from what their budget is at the beginning of the year.
Right.
So this being almost September, DC Comics is in the hole $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my mind, I go back and forth. Is $2 million a lot? I mean, you know, for a corporation, is $2 million a lot? For you and I, it's a lot. But
yeah, for Trump, it's pocket change.
Exactly. So the source gave a number of reasons, and the one really does make a lot of sense, and it was the move from New York. One of the reasons was the move from New York to Burbank.
Right.
It went over, and that I totally understand.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got their feelings about them leaving New York. You know, I've read, you know, positive and negative. They should stay in New York, blah, blah, blah. But that, if that is part of it, and I'm sure it is, that really doesn't, to me, should be taken off the table. So, like, if they spent an extra, I don't know, $1 million moving to Burbank, you know, that's not really DC Comics' fault, is what I'm trying to say.
No, that's...
That's just part of it's moving expenses.
That's moving expenses. I mean, we're talking a line item on Warner's expense chart for the
right.
for their DC operations.
So it's, to me, it's using that is sort of is unfair to DC.
Right. I don't think that should, you know, that should be neither here nor there. But the other point that they make is they said it was a reduction in revenue due to not so stellar sales of Convergence and the mini, again, another mini launch.
Right. Interesting.
Which makes more sense.
Right. Now, here's something else, another caveat to that. When they came up, I'm sure you remember because we were talking about it.
Right.
They came up with this whole Convergence thing as a cover for them moving to Burbank, which, you know, we both thought was kind of horseshit because it was like, to me, it was like a reason for them to not do anything for 2 months. Okay, they were moving, but it was kind of like they were saying, we're moving for 2 months and we're just going to put this on a table. Well, you and I have both said that in today's day and age, the artists and the writers, they're not even in the offices anymore. Stuff gets emailed and transmitted other ways, so.
Right. But at the same token, you do have a point, because if you look at all the creators on all these Convergence, they're not staffers.
Right.
They're not your Snyders, your Lees, your Johns. They're either people who worked there before,
right.
The person who actually...
It was supposed to be sort of a swan song, and it brought
yeah.
in all the old creators.
Yeah, and Convergence itself was written by a guy who's really never written comics before.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess I bring it up to say that maybe that's... when in planning this, in planning Convergence, DC's attitude always seemed to be, oh, we're moving, so we're not really going to put our heart into this.
Yeah.
So if you take that aspect in it, and I know it sounds like I'm defending DC, but I'm not.
No.
It's sort of like, okay, I guess in my mind I'm trying to validate, well, if you're going to put this product out there, you're going to put a half-assed product, then you can't expect big returns.
No.
So you got this move, you got this less-than-stellar product, and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden you're $2 million down. Well, you know, there some things are, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, I know, but it's just like, you know, also from the same source, in another article, you know, with this mini relaunch, it's been,
yeah.
hasn't been great. I mean, it's, we got a depowered Superman, we
yes.
got a, we don't have Bruce Wayne, we got the Bat Chappie,
mm-hmm.
and now we're, you know, from the same source, it's now saying that editors have been told to stop, and I quote, Batgirling.
Yeah.
And go back to meat and potatoes. I don't understand why they're calling it Batgirling.
I'm glad you say that, because I didn't quite understand. Batgirl, as far as I know right now, is hot.
Yeah, it's, I just recently read the trade of the first,
yeah.
and I, you know, quite honestly, it was a different take. I quite liked it. I, you know, I still can't see how she's going to fit into the Bat universe.
Yeah.
But
did
I guess
you happen to read like the latest issue where she's
no.
okay. Well, in the latest issue, she is interacting with Gordon as Batman against Livewire,
whoa.
And it to me it, the art and the tone of the story fit better with this new Batman because it's Gordon, she's Barbara Gordon, but it works better in this. In this iteration that it did in previous, like with Snyder and Capullo's Batman, I mean,
right.
it was just dark. So
I know coming up she's going to be running into Dick Grayson, who she thinks is dead.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's...
Okay, so they're going to stop Batgirling.
Quote
unquote meat and potatoes.
They're pretty much saying the Superman jeans look is going to be, you know, they're saying that the source is saying that the storyline's now been shortened.
Yeah.
And back up to full speed again.
Now, I've been reading it. I kind of like this story. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. What I don't like, and I've never really liked, is the whole thing where the whole alien, go home alien thing.
Right.
This is just my own personal preference. I like when Superman is, you know, everybody likes Superman. He's fucking Superman.
Yeah, I know.
He's looking out for everybody, and the animosity toward him, God, it just, you know what else has been going on since we're talking about it? Going through DC Comics and Superman, with Lois outing him as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Everybody's calling him a liar. We can't trust you because we're lying. You lied to us. And I think it was in either the latest issue of Superman, Wonder Woman, or Action Comics, where he says, I had a secret identity. Like, I want to have a life.
Yeah, I know.
So he's not really fucking lying. He just wants a fucking life. But everybody's like, oh, we can't trust you. He's like, dude, my resume should speak for itself.
I know.
It's time and time again. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And that's the shit that drives me nuts about Superman currently.
I know. I've read some of the New 52 Superman, and he's just, first off, he's really coming across like a fucking asshole. He's coming off just as, I understand, you know, the concept of, you know, doing what's right instead of, you know, what's legal. But this New 52 Superman is really coming across as a dick. Everything I've read with him, and I'm not finding anything.
He's not as likable as he used to be.
Yeah, I just don't find anything I like about him. It's funny because I just read a kid's book.
Yeah.
It's my son, you know, one of these learning to read books.
Uh-huh.
He's even a dick in that.
He seems to be less of a dick in Action Now. But, you're right. In New 52, they just, I guess with that whole, I don't know. So when you say that, and I know you don't know, when they say that they're going to put him back in the costume, I wonder what that truly means, if they are going to put him back in the pre-New 52 costume.
It'll still be the armor.
I hope not.
Yeah, unfortunately it will be.
And then the other interesting part is, and this I cannot believe, is that they have a lot of hope riding on Dark Knight 3.
Which is the most... I mean, the latest issue of previews is coming out.
Yeah.
And it says nothing of the plot.
Yeah, and in one of these articles, it did say, like, people are looking forward to this book, this Dark Knight 3. And you and I have talked about it. We are big fans of Dark Knight Returns. Not so big fans of the sequel. I'm not speaking for you, but just what we said in the past, I cannot imagine what kind of ground he's going to cover in 3.
I'm like, have people just completely forgot all the other crap that Miller's currently written about Batman?
I guess. I don't know, man.
Starting with Strikes Back and going into All-Star, they're embracing this Batman, you know, this Dark Knight 3. We know nothing about the plot. And that's irritating me more than anything else. The fact that we don't know, all they're saying is just like,
and it's 8 issues.
I mean, it's just like, even DC Comics was just like, you know, we provided new, new details, and pretty much all they said was just like, you know, so-and-so, you know, Azzello's helping him write it.
The only thing right now is, I don't want to say saving this book for me, but giving this book some credibility Azzello was writing it?
Azzello was writing it.
Yeah, he was co-writing it.
But it's just like, can you tell me what the fucking plot is?
Yeah.
There's
nothing in previews about it?
No, all there are is just saying, they're dancing around saying it's a follow-up. Here, this is the exact thing.
Okay.
Wait, no. I got the wrong goddamn thing. Let me see if I can find it as we bitch and moan about this a little more.
I got you.
From what I read, pretty much just said, you know, you've been waiting for it.
It's a whole bunch of nothing is what they're leading out.
Yeah.
I don't know. And even the images that they're throwing out there, it's just him in shadows.
You can't see anything.
You can't see anything. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I cannot believe that people are that excited about this book.
I just don't like the unknown. I really don't. I want to know what the fuck I'm going to buy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. It's just like, the epic ending you never saw coming is here because you demanded it. The Dark Knight rises again.
Nobody demanded it.
The Dark Knight rises again to face the dawn of the Master Race. It doesn't tell me shit!
What is the Master Race?
It doesn't tell me shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of fucking description of a book is that?
I don't know. So, God. One of the other things that they're doing, and they've already had plans for this, but now they're going to really push it forward, is Jim Gordon going back as commissioner and getting Bruce back into the costume.
Yeah.
Now, what's been going on over in Batman, Snyder and Coppola's Batman, is that Bruce is alive. I don't know if I should say spoilers or not. Bruce is alive.
Bruce, it's already been spoiled. Bruce is alive working in a soup kitchen or something.
Yeah, and he's not that he doesn't have memories, but because of the Dionysium that was in the cave in his fight with Joker, his brain was sort of restructured. So
right.
He really doesn't have, it's not that he doesn't have the memories, but I forget how they explained it, how Alfred explained it to Superman, Clark Kent. But he's not the Bruce Wayne that he was.
No,
and Gordon went to talk to him, and he went to ask for some help, and Bruce is like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Paraphrasing, of course.
Of course, he's, you know, I didn't get the impression that Gordon knew who he was. It's just...
No, Gordon knows who he is. Gordon knows that he's Batman.
No.
So, excuse me. See, the thing is, now they're going to speed up this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to ruin the story. I don't know, man. I want to see where that's. If you're going to go out and you're going to make this change, I just want to see where this arc goes. And I just think they're going to screw it up.
They are.
I kind of dig that. You know, Bruce is out here, and Jim's trying to figure out how to be Batman. I mean, it is a big stretch that. You know, Jim's in his late 40s, and he's Batman, but, you know, there's, like, nuances going on in the book that are interesting, that I find interesting. I'd like to see them, like I said, follow through with, but if they're pushing this timeline forward to make up some money, you know, it's just going to be, oh, Batman's back in the costume.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what they're doing. I mean, come on, we knew it was going to be back in the costume before.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now they're just pushing up the time just because.
Like I said, I just want to see I would have liked to see where the arc goes.
Well, I mean, DC really hasn't cared about, you know, continuity for the longest time anyhow.
Well, they weren't, but I guess now they have to. Who knows, man?
That's a funny thing. It's just like, you know, they feel that story's more important than continuity, and I'm like, yes, but story needs to have continuity.
Some continuity. Or some basis in continuity.
Yeah. You can't tell a story of a character 75 years of history.
Yeah.
And at least an ongoing, you could do it in a one shot, but come on.
So what I'm really curious about is what happens now? Like, what happens going forward? If this is all true and they have a $2 million deficit, I seriously doubt Dark Knight 3, I mean, it could make up some of that difference. I mean, I'm sure it will make up some of the difference, but what happens now?
Well, you know, another reason why, you know, their return policy is just like, they had so many returns and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you're not putting out a quality product,
no,
you're going to get a lot of returns. Mm-hmm. I really think that they took the wrong approach with Convergence. I think in theory they had the right approach, but they didn't follow through with it properly. Like, it should have been the homage to Crisis on Infinite Earth that it should have been.
Right.
And instead of doing it, you know, like, oh, we're moving to Burbank, dude, it's 30 years. And if you're going to wipe out everything that happened, then do it right. Tell the right story. Put your top talent on it and tell the right story.
And I have to say, it doesn't help that you're doing two things in the multiverse at the same time. You got you got convergence going on.
Right.
Then you got multiversity going on.
Oh, that fucking multiversity.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that was also in continuity, so that didn't
even... Yeah, yeah.
It confused things even more.
Yeah. I don't know. I think what we had originally thought it was going to be, where they were going to bring back these characters and the whole like I said, in theory, it sounded like a good idea, but
because
execution, it really...
It seemed like it was supposed to be the apology for, you know, leaving and wrapping up all these Luke storylines, but it looks like it just made a bigger mess.
It was kind of like when we found out about Teen Titans, it sounded like it was going to be like this set-aside story, like an Elseworlds story, how it wrapped up the Teen Titans. Instead, it was like this whole mishmash of... All these worlds were fighting. Well, who gives a shit why these worlds are fighting? And just tell the story of what happened to Roy, how Roy, you know, dealt with all that shit, losing his arm. That's what I wanted to say. I didn't care that they were. Who cares about them fighting?
I know.
Let's let Roy have a happy ending. You know, kind of happy ending. I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, with that arm, I don't think he wants
that. You know, and
then they decide to pick a villain from Warlord.
Yeah.
As the main villain, Demonos, and I'm like, okay, there's a great way to crap on an alternate Earth story.
Yeah.
There's a character that's been around for a long time. Great subplot going on, you know, kind of separate from the DC universe, but it's just like, guys, just shit on that too.
You know who seems to be doing what I really thought Convergence would be?
What?
Marvel. Secret Wars seems to be more in line what I thought Convergence was going to be than Convergence it was.
Let's make it such a big deal about, you know, blowing up the Earth, but we already know everything, you know, unfortunately due to solicitations, we know everything's fine. The only thing we don't know is, you know, still no Fantastic Four book.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
and with Peter Parker getting a Baxter Building, it doesn't sound like we're gonna.
God.
Anyway, it's a story for another time.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that was interesting, I guess. And in the coming days and weeks,
yeah,
all this holds true. It'll be interesting to see what happens with DC Comics.
No, it's not just the DC Comics. I mean, it's going over into the movies now too. You know. It's all these rumors going on with, you know, possible Man of Steel film, now the Man of Steel film being on hold.
Boy, let's talk about the first one. The rumor that kind of started it all was George Miller.
Yes, director of Mad Max Beyond Mad Max, period, all of it.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to see Fury Road. Road Fury? Or
Fury Road.
Fury Road. Phenomenal film from what I'm hearing, and no CGI.
It's a good movie. I mean,
it's just special effects whacked out of your goddamn mind. And it's funny because I've seen some people complain. It's like, well, I saw Fury Road. I don't want him on Man of Steel. And like, and my reply was just like, yeah, like Snyder did such a bang up job to begin with.
Well, actually, it kind of fits the theme of what DC, having George Miller, fits the theme of the Zack Snyder philosophy of film, where they're after the visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's about. So it kind of fits. I know that George Miller was attached to a Justice League property a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was supposed to do a Justice League film.
Right. Was he never attached to another Superman property? Like, did he write a Superman story or something like that at some point in time? I know Kevin Smith was. He was attached to Man of Steel for a while. Well, you know, Superman. I'm not Man of Steel necessarily.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams wasn't he at one point?
Yeah.
And who was the other writer? Wasn't there a big-name writer? attached to Superman at one point.
I don't know a big name, but I know they keep trying to get Goyer. I wish I'd stop.
I don't think I could have sworn it was George Miller. Anyway, I don't. Okay, so just taking this rumor for what it is. Like I said, he's in line with this whole Zack Snyder visual effects kind of thing. Fury Road was fine. Like, I don't see how people are getting so bent out of shape about it, like saying how great it was. I mean, it was the fucking story took place on a road, and yeah, the effects were awesome. But
the only advantage I see here is the man understands lighting.
Yeah, okay.
At least we won't have a dark-looking Superman. We'll have one that's properly lit.
Well, visually, yes.
Visually, yes.
Totally, it'll still be dark.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other. And it doesn't matter that I have an opinion one way or the other, because it sounds like now, more interestingly, Man of Steel 2 is on, quote-unquote, permanent hold.
Yeah.
Now,
but it still says he's still attached to it.
He's still attached to it, but still, in the next couple of years, they've got all this superhero stuff coming out.
Now that I'm reading, I'm reading now that he's still attached to a DC film.
Right, okay, right. You're right. I did read that before we came on.
Not Superman.
Necessarily Superman.
Yeah, not Man of Steel 2, but he is attached to a film.
Now, I don't know if any of this has anything to do with what I'm about to say. A couple weeks ago, I'm sure you saw the stories about the Warner Brothers executives seeing Batman vs. Superman, getting all bent out of shape about it, saying how great it was, especially with Ben Affleck's performance of Batman, and they're trying to nail him down
mm-hmm.
with three Batman movies.
Right.
Now, and there wasn't much said about Superman. It was just all about Affleck.
Correct.
Again, these are just rumors and speculation. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Like, are they maybe backpedaling on Cavill as Superman?
Well, I mean, I heard they moved the date again. Yeah, it's so.
What do you mean? For Man of Steel 2?
Or for Superman Batman, I heard they blinked again about the date.
Did they really? They moved it again?
I thought that's what I read.
I don't know about that. I think it was still supposed to be, like, the 16th of March. So what are they saying it's supposed to be now?
Now it's, like, the 25th of March.
Okay, it's only a week. It's not like they pushed it.
No.
They pushed it back that far. Like, they changed a month or they put it 6 months.
But again, they pushed it again. It's just like...
I don't know. But I just think the whole... I find it interesting that they're putting this movie on hold.
Yeah.
Again, it's only a rumor just as the George Miller thing is, but I don't know, man. I wonder what the deal is. And then not just on hold, but quote-unquote permanent hold. Now, nothing's permanent. I mean, you know, if Superman Batman is awesome and people really respond to Superman, they'll greenlight Superman 2 like that.
But we know it's going to sell because it's... It'll do well at the box office because it's a sucker bet.
Well, I agree, but I guess to me it sounds like they're a little cool on Superman right now and hot to trot on Batman, as they usually are.
I mean, speaking of Superman and Batman, I'm not too sure if you heard this rumor about the Joker. With your favorite guy, Leto.
Oh, yeah, what are they saying?
Some theorists are saying that.
I did see this.
Yeah, it could be Jason Todd.
You want to know my theory on that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some circumstantial evidence that Joker could be Jason Todd. And my theory is that this is DC's way or Warner Brothers' way of saying if he blows. People don't respond to it. He's not Joker. It was fucking Jason Todd the whole time.
Yeah. Hey, it's got to be.
And really, whether people respond positively, they can use it any way they want. But I think they're going to use it as an out and say, yep, he was Jason Todd. That's not a real Joker. And then find a way to dig. That's terrible.
But yet. But still better than Gotham.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Let's not talk about Gotham right now. we'll we'll talk some TV, but just we'll put that on the back burner for now. Yeah. See, but personally, I like shit like that. I like when things kind of tie together. I don't have a problem with Jason Todd being Joker. I mean, I think that's kind of cool, actually. I mean, it goes against canon and stuff like that, and I know I'm being a hypocrite here when, like, because I always say I never, ever, 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 ever want to know who the Joker is. I don't think they should ever say who the Joker is. No. I don't ever want an origin for it. But on the other hand, you know, maybe Jason Todd, you know, was pissed off enough at Bruce Wayne Batman to do something like this. Maybe, you know, this would be a, this would be a great way to link to Dark Knight, just say he's a protege of Joker.
But it doesn't make any sense, because right now, Leto and Affleck are pretty much the same age.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, it's good in theory.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just would rather not have it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, like I said, I don't have a problem with it. If it's true, I'll be surprised. I think it's just fans reaching. Even though the evidence sort of looks like it, I think it's fans reaching.
Like I always say, in some of these geeks' eyes, 2 + 2 = 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do you see the Matrix movies?
Yeah.
Right before the second one came out. Before the third one came out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, talking with my friends, all these wild theories about, you know, what was going to happen in Revelations and how this and this and that's that and this, that. And none of it was true. None of it.
No.
So, I mean, you hope for stuff, but I don't know. It's never as great as you want it to be.
Oh, God. Well, in that case, you walk out of the theater going, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, Revelations was awful. Best. It's a shame.
Yeah. That's a good thing about the Matrix film. The first one can be a standalone film.
Yeah, thank God.
With the opening, you know, I have no problem with a film with an open ending. Sometimes an open ending is still an ending to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that much of an open ending.
No. It just seems like, you know, there's going to be a big battle now. We don't need to know anymore. You know, at the end of the first one, the playing field has now been leveled.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how it is, and that's, perfect ending for me. Yeah. But then they had to go screw it up, and I was just like, really? Yeah.
Hey, you want to talk a little Vixen?
Yes.
So,
yes, I do.
We talked about this, or we had mentioned it a long time ago, how there was going to be a Vixen animated series on the CW Seed, which, honestly, the fucking weird name for an animated series channel, Seed.
It didn't start off. I mean, they've had other programs on there.
I know. It's just a weird.
I can't remember where they came up with the name from. It was like it started off as a testing ground.
Yeah.
For a lot of shows.
I get it. I mean, I get the name behind it. It's just, I don't know. It's like a weird name.
Yeah.
So anyway, it debuted today, right?
Today, yeah, yeah.
What do you think of it?
You know what? I think it was only 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
I like the animation style.
Uh-huh.
I thought the revamp, the update of the character, I liked.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger wasn't bad. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I can't wait to see more, to be honest with you.
The 5 minutes went real quick. Like,
yeah.
I was wrapping up at work, I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this. You know, when you say it's 5 minutes long, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes. And then, like, I put it on, and I'm like, I got to get going soon. And then, like, next thing I know, it's like, wow, it's 5 minutes.
It's funny. You're like that. I'm like, it's only 5 minutes? Damn it. And then I watched it. It was like, wow, that did not feel like 5 minutes. It really
exactly.
did longer.
It didn't. It did definitely need to be longer. In fact, when it cut, it's like, wow, I want to see a little bit more of this, which is good. Always leave them wanting more.
Yet we got into a lot about the character.
But Flash and Arrow, they didn't talk, right?
No.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't. I mean,
I'm assuming we'll get to that. Well, we
talk.
You know,
they had a big part. I mean, the first 2 minutes, 3 minutes is really them chasing Vixen around, which is really cool. Nice effects, and nice they're based effects, on the CW characters.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And, you know, I like her new backstory. She's been in and out of foster homes.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics, she's a model. This new revamp, she's a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Give some
credibility.
Yeah, you know, she's trying to get into, you know, clothing design, which is really cool. She's got an attitude because, you know, once that opening sequence of Flash and Arrow, we go into her in a jail cell.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find out that, you know, some lech tried to make a move on her and shoved a pen through his hand.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. We know the necklace means something's, you know, obviously we saw the necklace in action, but we know it means something special.
But does she know it means something special?
She is very protective of it.
It's because it seemed like to me like she was going to sell that necklace, or she thought about selling it.
But at the same time,
you think so? Like when the guys did not give you $50, you didn't get from that impression like she was seriously thinking about selling it?
I think so, but you know, at the end, you could tell there was something. Obviously, there's something more going on because those crooks asked for this. What it looks like, with all the money and you know watches, and they just want this string necklace,
right?
So there's something, you know. I'm theorizing somebody paid those guys to do that.
Yeah,
and I probably not a far stretch, but it's just like obviously there's something more to this necklace than what's being let on.
Right.
And I liked what I saw so far.
Yeah, I'm interested. Now, do you know, is there going to be 5-minute increments going forward, or are they going to stretch it out a little bit?
I think it's going to stay at 5 increments.
Yeah.
Not too sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But, you know, it's... I mean,
do you know how often they're going to be putting them out?
That I don't know. I think they're trying to keep it weekly.
Yeah, okay.
Every week. If you download the app, you can sign up for alerts, but you can also go to CWC.com and watch it online.
Yeah.
I really, you know, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I really did. I thought it was good. I think it's the same animators who did the Young Justice.
Yeah. Did you see somebody else started another petition about that?
Oh, God.
About bringing Young Justice back after all these years. That's how much fans love that show. Another petition about bringing Young Justice back.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I would definitely like to see, I hope this works, I would love to see more DC properties like this.
It's...
And maybe this builds, speaking of Young Justice, maybe this builds a groundswelling, a grassroots groundswelling of getting some DC properties back on the TV.
Oh, tell me about it. It's just, the only thing we have right now is Teen Titans Go.
Yeah. And it's not for us.
No, it really isn't. I mean, I watch it with my 3-year-old, but there are, like, you know, the occasional one, you know, jokes and background stuff that, you know, he's never going to understand.
Yeah.
But it's just... I'm not a fan of the first, even Teen Titans, to be honest with you.
Oh, I see. I like that original show. I would definitely love to see a show, like a 15-minute, like they used to do, a 10-minute block. You know, if you want to put it up every week on that seed, I'd fucking watch that.
But I don't know. I think my problem even with the first Teen Titans show is just too much comedy. I don't want more serious stuff.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
Yeah. Plus, I still don't like the way they depict Starfire as such a dipshit.
Yeah.
Something about that just... it's not that I want her to be a sex pot. I want the warrior.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I could live without the sex pot, but just make her the warrior.
They focus too much on her naivete.
Yeah, they neutered her.
Exactly.
They really have. And I didn't like that in either incarnation, to be honest with you. But, hey, that's me.
Well, how about this one? We're going to stick with DC just a little bit longer. I think you'd be happy about this one. I think you would be. that Nathan Fillion wants to play Booster Gold?
I think it's kind of funny. I mean, he plays, he's known for playing, he can do the ego very well.
Yeah.
And I think he would do a wonderful job, but I'm trying to figure out how they would fit it in.
You don't think that they could fit Booster Gold in, I was going to say Agents of Tomorrow. Tomorrow? They could easily squeeze him in on that show.
Yeah, but the problem is he's under a Disney contract right now.
Who is?
Fillion.
Oh, is he? Who's for what?
Castle.
Oh.
That is a, that, yeah, that is an ABC show. That's the problem. That's,
is that show still on?
Yeah. And it's written and, you know, it's made by ABC Films, which means he has his, you know, he's tied to Warner right now.
Yeah.
I mean, tied to Disney.
Disney.
I mean, he can do the occasional voiceover work.
Yeah.
Like he did with, you know, Rise of Atlantis, The Throne of Atlantis, where he played, you know, he does a great voicing of Hal Jordan. But, you know, voice work and on-air work are two different things. And, I don't know if you can get away with
it. Interesting.
I mean, I think it'd be, but I'm looking these days, I feel a little old.
I see, I thought you'd be more into it.
Wait,
you're more Blue Beetle. I'm wrong. You were more Blue Beetle fan than Booster Gold.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. I like Fillion a lot, so I'm like, yeah. I can go either way. I mean, but you know, speaking of Legends of Tomorrow, they just announced that Hawkman's going to be a featured character now.
Yeah, how about that? I wonder, he must have either screamed really well or impressed somebody enough to give him that upgraded status.
This is what confuses me, because I got the impression the show was already made.
What, Legends of Tomorrow?
I got the impression it was already in the can.
Well, you figure that they're still doing episodes, so he probably was on an episode, and somebody really liked it, and said, we're going to work this guy in there more. Don't you think?
It's just like they're so hush-hush on this one.
I
want to see what Hawk Girl looks like. I really need to see her with the wings. We haven't seen squat really.
Nothing. Isn't it driving you nuts?
Oh god, it's driving me nuts so much.
I just want to give us a little bit. I want to see what those wings look like too.
It's just like they showed her, you know, the actress preparing with this, you know, aerial aerobics and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool. But it's just like, because that's going to more mimic, you know, how a bird flies, what she's doing there, opposed to like how Superman flies.
Right.
Where Superman's kind of like a bullet. Hawkman and Hawk Girl kind of
flow. They fly like birds.
Yeah, they fly like birds. So I would love, you know, that I love the fact that she's doing this, but at the same time, show me something.
Yeah, I do. I want to say it too.
Because even all the promo things, she doesn't have the wings.
Yeah.
So what the hell's going on?
I wonder if, I guess not. I was going to say, I wonder if they'll take any kind of, borrow anything from, like, Angel from X-Men. Was he in the third one?
Yeah.
At the wings?
Yeah.
X-Men 3? I wonder if they'll,
Well, the difference is that the wings are an apparatus that the Hawks wear.
Right. You're right.
So, you know.
He had real wings. You're right.
But the Hawks were, like, they made out of that nth metal.
Right, you're right.
So, you know. Right.
He was an archangel.
No.
You're right.
We are getting an archangel, though.
Yeah. Well, in this apocalypse movie.
Yeah. I still love
it. You know who's really into that apocalypse movie? That G4 chick. She's really into it. She loves being Psylocke.
Wouldn't you? Well, I mean.
What's her name?
Olivia.
Yeah, Olivia Munn. You know, I will say what I will about Jared Leto, but I really like when actors are into their role.
Yeah.
She's really into that role. She's really into that role. It gets me excited when they're into the role enough, that they're at least, they're not going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who else was really into their role.
Oh, look at Ben Mel with the WrestleMania. Didn't he show up in costume?
Oh, my God. You know what? I think that is the greatest thing. He's enough. No, it's not that. It's not that he's just an Arrow, you know, he plays the Arrow.
Yeah.
Dude, he is like one of us.
Yeah.
He's got to be the biggest fucking geek ever. I love that. I love that he's into wrestling. I love that he showed up. You know, I haven't watched wrestling in years, but I just, to me, it just shows that he's not just doing it as a job, man. He digs it. I love it.
He loves it. He's embraced his character.
You know what it is? It's like
he loves it.
Shit up, man. God, I love that. Because you know some of these guys that just show up and they're like, let's just read their lines, and which is fine because everybody's got jobs, whatever. But when they're really into it, I really like it.
Well, you know, Amel also keeps the fucking mask on.
Yeah.
Unlike some people.
Are you looking forward to the season?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm curious.
It seems like a lot of people feel the way you do, like that pause, like, yeah, I'm hoping that they, yeah.
I gotta be honest, I'm not thrilled with the costume change. I don't think the name Green Arrow really works in this real universe. I don't know, the biggest thing is just, like, the last season just felt like the end.
Yeah.
The end.
I'm hoping the costume grows on me, too. I am definitely, definitely more excited about the Flash. But I always like the Flash more than the Arrow, so.
I mean, have you seen some of the teasers show Adam Smasher?
Yeah.
Who's a villain in this one.
I can't wait for the show to come back.
Oh, God.
And the other show, I know it's not for me. I know who it's aimed for, but I'm really looking forward to Supergirl. It's another one of those things where there's just so much I see, so much positivity around the show that, you know, like, it gets me excited. Like, when
I still can't get past that Superman thing. It's,
I know.
I really am a strong, firm believer in creators' rights, and I fully am with the Siegel and Schuster families, and it's just, I really feel like they're not saying the name because they don't want to pay out every fucking moment.
God, I hope to God that's not why they're doing it.
I was watching something else. It was the the new Lego animated film.
Yeah.
Justice League versus Legion of Doom, which I have to say, I can't highly recommend it enough. It's great for all ages.
Which one is?
It's a new one. It's
Justice League one.
Justice League. Okay. Justice League versus the Legion of Doom.
Okay, and it's good?
Oh my God, it's hilarious, man.
Okay.
It's great, man. It's highly recommended. But in the credits there, it says, you know, so-and-so created by so-and-so, you know, blah, blah, blah. It says Superman created by Siegel and Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
With special permission thanks to the Siegel family.
You know, and they say that in the comics, too. That verbiage you just said.
Off. And you think which medium here is going to get the most exposure? Not movies, not the videos, TV. That's going to get the largest exposure out there. So of course they're going to dance around that fucking name because every time they say that name, they got to pay that family.
Well, listen, that could very well might be. And if that's the case, then shame on them. That's ridiculous. If that's the reason why they're not saying Superman, God, I hope that's not what it is. That's ridiculous.
I really think it is now.
I'm inclined to believe you and to think that way too. I just hope to God it's not.
You know me, the conspiracy theorist.
No, like I said, I just hope that's not what it is. Because if that's what it is, that's fucking sad.
Yeah. It's pathetic.
We're coming up to an hour. You want to talk one more thing? What do you want to talk about? What's your big thing that we haven't discussed yet?
Oh, God. I would really love to talk Gotham because I am just...
Really?
Is there really a point? Everybody knows.
I know what it's like. I don't know why I feel this way. Like, I feel like I got it. Like, I'm defending Gotham, but I'm not, like... On one hand, I feel like I'm defending it, but I don't know why. Like, I don't give a shit. It's just a stupid show. But as soon as we start talking about it, or I talk about it with anybody, I just feel bad that I like it. I think it's funny.
In all honesty, I mean, what I find really interesting is change, totally going off gears and off comics, going to Star Wars, is digitally adding Peter Cushing into the Rogue One movie.
I wanted to ask you about that. Now, that's just a rumor. Did you hear anything about that? Like, is that...
It would make sense. Well, look at the timeline. It has to.
Well, so here's the thing. This really got a lot of reaction on the internet. Like, both positive and really negative. They had that actor portray him in the third movie.
But he was younger.
You don't think they could age that guy? Honestly, I see, this is one of the things that I like. I would love to see them recreate this guy. It's just, to me, it's fascinating that we have reached the time in technology where we can do that. We can recreate an actor.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, is it sort of like George Lucas? Are we just using our technology to show off?
I don't know if we're showing off, as in... See, the problem is the timeline of this film. This pretty much is a group of rebels stealing the plans for the Death Star, which means it takes place either days or weeks right before Star Wars A New Hope.
Right.
So, and Peter Cushing was the main guy in charge of the Death Star.
Right.
So you need to have Toffin in there somehow.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that means unless you recast it, which I think is the wrong way to go, with a brand new actor,
yeah,
I think you're really going to have to go digital on this.
Let me ask you this. How do you think it works with, like, his estate? Like, do they have to get permission from his family to do that?
Oh, definitely. His likeness, yeah.
Right, okay. Because they can't just say, look, this is a character in the Star Wars.
No. This is not like, you know, using somebody, like paying up another actor to play Darth Maul.
Right.
This is not the same type of thing. This is, you want to use Peter Cushing's likeness.
And his estate is getting paid for this.
Yeah, his estate or whoever would be getting paid for this.
Because in all of the, I don't want to say reports or articles, there was no mention of that. Just, you know, that they're talking about, or it's rumored that they are going to recreate it digitally. And again, that is fucking mind-blowingly cool. But do they have permission to do that?
Well, you know, look, they did it with the last Fast and Furious film.
Yeah, but they used a combination. They used his brother, and then they recreated him.
But in the early, I mean, and we were talking about last week, the Crow movie. Now, yes. Unfortunately, Brandon Lee died before they finished filming everything, and yes, they had to use another actor. And this is way, way, you know, this is, we are light years ahead of what the Crow was.
Absolutely.
They had to superimpose his face on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had to cheat by showing his back a lot more.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, this one scene where he smashes the mirror.
Yeah.
That wasn't him. That was the stand-in.
Hmm.
And then they had to digital impose Lee's face over that.
Oh, wow. I have to go check that out.
And, you know, it's... I think we've come a lot better where they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they must believe in it enough if they're going to put... Because he has such a distinct look. And he's going to have at least... some part, a big part in this movie, because like you said, he's really, he's the force behind the Death Star in A New Hope, so.
Well, they could limit his screen time, you know, make his number two taking care of all, of everything.
Understood, but this is such a high profile movie, they must believe that they can pull this off.
Yeah.
Enough where they're not recasting it. Or, like I said, they believe in the technology enough that they're going to do this.
I think they can do it. It ain't going to be easy.
Or cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, once they start doing it, I wonder what that means going forward. What other dead actors are we going to see?
It's fine because it's, you know, that's that's the talk these days. It's just like, I read a horror story about people selling, you know, way back in the 80s, about people selling their likeness.
Yeah.
To be film stars, and they don't realize it, and then, you know, just the Hollywood studio has the likeness, and then ruins the actual actress's face.
Yeah.
Because they bought the likeness. But
right.
We're coming up on that, man.
You know, here's another interesting thing. Do you think, are they going to use his voice? Are they going to...
Yeah, they'll use his voice. Well, that's easily, you can...
But then they gotta put, they're gonna take his voice and they gotta put all that together.
Well, you know, it's, the audio is a lot easier. You can get people that sound like him, then tweak it a little. Honestly, the audio, yeah. Audio is a lot easier than the visual in this process. And, you know, they're already talking about, if they do this,
yeah.
They just can't rely on Star Wars. They have to go through Peter Cushing's body of work.
Right, right.
And they're going to pull out all...
They've got all the nuances, because if you don't have his facial expressions, you have all those micro movements in your face that,
yeah.
If you don't have those, then you can tell it's a computer. You can tell that it's software. You got to have all those, like I said, micro expressions in your face that give you, you know, your humanity.
Well, I mean, look at Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bridges, the younger version.
Yeah.
Clue was his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The character of Clue was a younger version of him. Mind you, you know, the actor was still alive, but they youngerized him.
Yeah.
Youngerized? Made him look younger.
Yeah.
God. But, you know, it's... I think the technology's there. But it is going to be a very time-consuming, very costly effort. But I think if they do it right, and... We're talking, you know, ILM and Disney. We could be looking at something pretty freaking amazing and yet scary at the same time.
Exactly. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Maybe if they can do this, get rid of that actors and we don't have to put up with their freaking egos.
They'll put a lot of people out of business.
Yeah, but at the same time, maybe then they'll keep the fucking mask on.
Oh, my God. So what do you got going on this week?
I pretty much got a quiet week, finally.
Yeah?
Yeah, just doing a little catch-up, reaching out to a couple people, starting to get some stuff about New York Comic Con, especially with Super Week.
Yeah, I saw some blurb on the internet about Super Week.
Yeah, so I've been, you know, they've been sending me stuff, and I'm trying to see if they're allowing press, so we're going, you know... The banter is starting back and forth if they'll allow me to attend the events and not actually pay for them.
Yeah. It's coming up, man. We'll be here before you know it.
Well, the two, it's a lot of, you know, the main one that they're really hyping is the premiere of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the new season, which is going to be kind of cool. They're doing a big thing over at Madison Square Garden. I know they got Kevin Smith doing a podcast, The Hollywood Babylon. Kind of curious about that. Then they got all kinds of other events. I mean, you can, you know, check out the New York Comic Con website, or, you know, look up Super Week, and it'll tell you what's going on. A lot of things, man.
Speaking of Walking Dead, and just as a quick thing,
mm-hmm.
There's I don't want to call it a Walking Dead convention, but because I don't know the name of it, but there's a Walking Dead convention coming to my area. In the next couple of weeks. It's something like Shake, Dead, and Roll. Something like that, but it's all about zombies and Walking Dead, and I'm watching this. I'm like, first of all, like, I know that Walking Dead's got a huge following.
Yeah.
But I didn't know whether to laugh. Or like, I don't know why I'm laughing, because apparently it's a big deal. They got a convention.
Well, I've seen ones for the Walking Dead. There's one out there called Stalker Walker.
I wonder if that's it.
It could be.
I don't know, but...
Yeah. And, you know, they've also made, like, you know, a running game.
Yeah.
Where you know, it's pretty much a normal jog. You know, one of these happy Iron Man type, you know, mud things.
Yeah, like a mud run.
And like a mud run, but then they got zombies chasing your ass, too.
Dude, that's what it is. It is Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming to the Philadelphia Expo Center.
Hey, did you catch, I mean, speaking of zombies, did you catch that Scout's Guide to Zombies?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. There's a new thing. This is just a new crop of horror comedy coming out that just looks, it looks that, between that and the other one called
Final. Wait, did you see the Scout's Guide to the Zombies? Is that the Boy Scouts and the stripper?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that. And it looks awesome.
And then they got that other one called Final Girls.
I didn't see that. That one is.
Oh, that one's just like, it pretty much just, it's a total parody of the 80s horror films, and it's just like, oh my God, take my money now.
What's it called?
Final Girls.
I'll have to check that out.
I like this new trend of combining horror with comedy.
Yeah.
What do you got going on this week?
Working on a new news box. Other than that, I don't have any articles really in the works, but, you know, that goes from day to day.
Yeah, tell me about changes on a dime.
Yeah, like if something pops up, like today, all that DC stuff pops up. That's what I think is pretty funny, because you know, you collect articles that we're going to talk about, and from one day we could have nothing, and then the next day it's bing, 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 and I want to talk about this fucking DC $2 million at hole.
I wanted to get, you know, I'm really surprised, you know, I posted the thing about, you know, that, I think it was comic book, comic resources did about, you know, why is there no Fantastic Four in a mind? Yeah. I started thinking, how come some idiot hasn't started a petition yet?
Maybe somebody has.
I don't know, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm just surprised. It's just like, this is how little people think of the Fantastic Four in general.
And yet, I guess, man.
I don't know. I'm rambling. Stop it.
Well, you can check me out on the-newsbox.com. You can check Brian out on CancerCorner.com.
Yep.
You can check us both out on the fanboyfactor.com. You can check out all our old shows on the fanboyfactor.com as well.
And to listen to us on the go as it's time to go back to work. Summer's over.
And school.
School, work. You're going to be stuck in that car for hours.
Or class.
Or class. Go to Stitcher or iTunes.com. Download us for on the go. But there's only one way to find out when our new episode is coming up.
God damn, you got to subscribe.
Got to subscribe.
How can you not subscribe?
Just put us on there.
It's perplexing. Stitcher and iTunes, subscribe.
If you don't know how to do it, please contact us and
we'll help you.
We'll walk you through it.
We're guaranteed to walk you through it.
We will help you.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
Until next week.
Next week.
Take care.